This is Damir Barlas, site editor of SearchSAP.com. SAP is making a major SOA push via both the eSOA platform and a suite of business process management tools. But many SAP end users and technical specialists still don't know just how SOA is changing the SAP landscape. In this podcast with SAP mentor John Reed, who runs johnerp.com and is a Search SAP site expert, we discuss the interconnection of SAP eSOA and BPM, explore how SOA skills map on to the specific SOA competencies, such as NetWeaver and WebDinPro that you encounter, and consider the benefits of SOA. One SAP customer shaved its development costs by 600% using eSOA, and that should get everyone's attention. Whether you're a CIO or a developer, whether you're a business analyst or a technical consultant, SOA is going to change the way you work and your organization performs, whether you're an SAP shop or not. Listen to this podcast to get a sense of the SOA future and how it will impact your job role. Over to you, John.
So, Damir, I think what is important about the SOA space is that we're trying to understand, first of all, how this industry-wide phenomenon that goes beyond SAP impacts SAP, and more specifically, we're trying to understand how it is this impacts SAP professionals. And I think where the issue is for SAP professionals is they want to add skills they can use on their projects. They don't want to waste time on hype that never materializes. And to a certain degree, you can level that criticism at all new SAP technologies, including SOA. So hopefully during this podcast, we sort out a little bit of that. So as far as SOA and why it's important in the SAP space, I think what we need to understand is that there's been this historical problem with ERP packages in general, which is that you go in there and you configure the functionality as best you can for your company or business, but especially in mission-critical areas of your business, there could be some areas that you just can't configure properly to match your specific best practices. And along those lines, you might want to custom develop some specific functionality that you might perceive give you an edge in your industry. Up to this point, what that involved doing was altering the code base of the ERP core. And, of course, that created a host of problems because not only is that kind of custom development expensive, but it makes it very difficult to upgrade your software, and then you're doing it all over again and banging heads in the wall, and people are getting pink slips and getting tense meetings with budget overrun issues. So the dream of SOA is the possibility of basically being able to compose applications on top of the ERP core. So when you look at SAP with the NetWeaver releases that are supporting ERP 6.0 and such, you have built-in eSOA compatibility, and you have the ERP 6.0 increasingly service-enabled at various points within the package so that you can build on top of the SAP system. So the promise of eSOA, as SAP currently calls it, although I think they're about to change that to just SAP SOA, the promise of it is to be able to innovate, as they say, on top of the core, which essentially would give you the best of both worlds. And what we're seeing is the beginnings of that shifting from, say, just a happy idea, a sexy slideshow, a paradigm shift, to actual practical demonstrations of the value of this. And so what we're seeing now when we go to Sapphire Tech Ed is we're starting to see presentations from what you might call flagship customers or leading-edge SAP customers that are actually using these techniques to improve their development process and save money. And perhaps during this podcast, I could refer to one or two of them. But the gist of it is we're starting to see the case studies happen, and it's becoming more of a proven technology. But the adoption is gradual, and so it's not something where if you don't have these skills tomorrow, you're going to be out of the loop. But we're seeing a bit of proof in the pudding as far as the value of these technologies.
Mm-hmm. I think a very natural follow-up to that question, I mean, to your line of reasoning there, is how do you get hands-on SOA experience? And let's think about this from the perspective of, both someone who's a permanent hire, you know, long-term in an IT position, and, you know, someone who's in a consulting freelance position.
Well, that's a great question. And one thing that's helpful to understand is that for the most part, you're not going to get too involved in SOA unless you're running on the latest releases of SAP. And so part of it is simply getting yourself onto projects and situations where you're working with the latest releases of SAP, because as you get familiarity with those NetWeaver components and the latest versions of the software, that's going to be a key entry point in terms of how you're going to connect that to the so-called SOA world. So part of it is just getting the latest and greatest exposure. And for consultants, that may mean different project choices and perhaps considering projects that will give you that exposure, even if the rate's a little less than what you're looking for. Obviously, for the person you refer to who's an in-house professional, they may not have a lot of control over that. You might be on a earlier release of SAP and sort of chafing at the bit to get that experience, but you can't actually get the hands-on version yet. The good news is there's a lot of self-education available around these topics, and obviously, you know, the obvious options as far as just book study, but there's also a lot of hands-on options you can look into. And again, this depends a little bit on where your skills fall within SAP as far as which part of this you need to self-educate on. But for the developer, for example, there's the trial version of the composition environment available on SDN right now. And in fact, SAP's latest business process management application, NetWeaver BPM, that's still in before full ramp-up, it hasn't ramped up fully yet, trial version of that is also developed in addition to the composition environment. You can also download that. So there's some self-education that can be done around getting familiar with some of the tools of SOA that are used as well. So I guess that would be my answer, is wise project choices and the beginnings of self-education around sandboxing around some of these tools.
Mm-hmm. You said something very interesting, which is that, you know, eSOA is really practicable only with sort of newer versions of SAP. So is this a driver for people who are, moving up now to the newer versions of SAP, or is this more sort of a nice-to-have thing that you have to get the latest version of SAP, and, hey, as a bonus, I'm going to do some of this SOA stuff?
Well, you know, I don't think you necessarily have to be running the latest version of SAP to do some targeted projects. I've seen some example, for example, of what you would call mashups of taking information perhaps from Google Earth demographic informations and mashing it up with BW to get some interesting analytics going, what called spatial analytics. And you could do some of that stuff on older versions of SAP as well. But the challenge you run into is that when you get really serious about SOA, you get into issues such as we need a service registry or repository for these services, and we need governance. And these are the kinds of things that are built into the latest version of NetWeaver. So that's why the upgrade to the NetWeaver stack is important when you look at really seriously getting involved in SOA. So, yeah, it is a major incentive. It is one of the major reasons that companies do upgrade. You know, whenever you look at upgrade cycles in software, I talk about the carrot and the stick. The stick is the bad things that happen if you don't upgrade. And one of the obvious, issues is you have the sunsetting maintenance, where the maintenance fees increase for older releases, and some of that will kick in. But so that's sort of the stick, and the carrot would be some of the bells and whistles around SOA and around composition, and so the difference between composition and development. And the long-term view of composition is obviously to make it increasingly possible not only to have more efficient and reusable development, but eventually get business users involved in modeling that essentially becomes executable code at the end of that modeling process. Now, that's not where we're at yet, but that's kind of where some of this is going, and that's why the BPM tools are getting pushed as well as SOA and the connections between them.
I think let's pick up on that and talk about why BPM is just so prominent right now in SAP's messaging, and SOA is not really quite as prominent. So what's up with that?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting shift. I think one thing is that marketing requires buzz, and you can't really recycle, the marketing of 2 years ago and get the same buzz. And SAP has been pushing eSOA for a couple of years now, so there is a need for something new. But part of it is also what is being learned on project sites about these technologies. And the BPM effort is basically informed by the understanding that if your business processes are not properly conceived, then your SOA work, which is sort of the enabling technology, is not going to be effective. So if your business processes are not modeled properly and don't represent so-called best practices, then your SOA is just not really going to work well. In fact, Puneet Supal of Capgemini, one of the presentations I attended at TechEd, he basically said along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, you know, if you're BPM or your underlying business processes are not sound, then your SOA is going to be pretty crummy. So that's one of the reasons why that's being pushed right now by SAP, and SAP is billing itself as a so-called business process platform. And so what you're looking at is the emergence of process modeling tools that will allow companies to model processes not just in hypothetical, but to convert that into real code. And that's really why SAP is so much behind their new BPM tool that won't have full ramp up probably until next year. But basically, this is the first modeling tool for SAP where the end result is executable code. So this is what we're seeing. But of course, at this juncture, you know, a business person can't, you know, generate, you know, all the bells and whistles that are needed for good development product. And so what we're seeing with this SOA BPM stuff, pardon all the buzzwords, is there's a lot of jobs that are going to emerge in the middle of this stuff, both from the technical and functional side, for people who can kind of step in the middle and help translate this stuff back and forth, because it's not a complete handoff, and it won't be probably for a number of years. And so we're going to need folks who have the ability to collaborate with business users or compose services, but then you know, tie things together properly, or install the latest version of SAP and make sure it's connected to the web architecture that you're using or the e-commerce platform. So there's all kinds of stuff happening around connecting these things. In a way, you could talk about it as the convergence of the technical and functional skill sets, and it's going to happen gradually, but there's a sweet spot there that consultants and in-house SAP professionals can push for, and even if your project isn't doing it yet, there's a lot you can learn online in terms of self-education around this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Let's take it back to end users for a second. And you had said that, you know, you've come across some interesting use cases. Can you tell our listeners about some interesting on-the-ground uses of this stuff?
Yeah. Well, you can kind of look at some of SAP's early adopters, and one of the neat things about it is that a lot of these are available online, and so you can basically, you know, go to SAP.com and look at past Sapphire presentations and kind of see what some companies are doing. I can throw out a couple that I've seen a fair amount. One is Home Depot. Home Depot has done a lot with basically formulating some of these new roles, and we haven't really made a list of them today, but one of them that you see a lot is the enterprise architect. And so Home Depot, from what I've seen in their presentations, is one of the companies that has gotten a little more aggressive about defining what some of these roles are. Another leader in this area has been Cardinal Health, and they've also presented at a number of these shows, and they've done a lot of composition using some of NetWeaver composition tools and have shown surprising savings on their projects. I think I recall some stats around saving basically that they're spending six times less than their traditional development projects using some of these new approaches. And, of course, what this means for developers is understanding the principles of reusable code and object-oriented programming. And there's really no excuse not for learning it. It doesn't matter whether you're an ABAP person or a Java person or whoever you are. You really want to understand what these XApps or composite applications are all about, and how to construct the enterprise services that build these applications. And it's basically all about pretty solid principles around reusing code and object-oriented programming, and it's out there for you to study. It's just a matter of learning.
You mentioned XApps. What else is there that, you know, someone would have to add to their tool set to become proficient at SOA, and understanding that SOA is a really big domain, but I think it would be helpful if we could kind of map that onto specific competencies.
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, you want to understand the business drivers behind why certain things are chosen, because the one thing to remember is that with all this hot new technology, it's not worth doing if you can configure this within your standard SAP processes. And so this is where it's really starting to pay off for functional consultants, for example, to really understand the industries they're working in and the optimal process for those industries, and specifically what SAP can currently do with that. Because the fact of the matter is, why do a SOA project if you can do something within SAP that works? Of course, where SOA can kick in a little bit is more around sometimes extending those processes to customers and suppliers. And so then you're looking at web-based technologies. And when we talk about XApps sometimes just represent web-based alternatives of doing business to an internal business practice that you've done for a long time. And so if you understand what that internal practice is, then you understand at least the theory behind what the XApp is going to be doing. And from there, it's simply a matter of understanding how these applications are enabled, and there's baby steps along the path to being a sophisticated, composer of new applications. And the baby steps for, say, a system admin would be to understand more of the integration technologies. So someone who knows, for example, a lot about EDI, it's obviously time to learn more about, XML and web-based integration, and the latest, for SAP, that involves the what's now called NetWeaver PI, that used to be called XI or process integration. So it's a matter of getting a handle on some of these NetWeaver components around that stuff. And for the developer, it's a matter of getting comfortable with the composition environment, which is readily available online, at least in a trial version. And also you can even consider a full subscription if you want to go that route and really get the state-of-the-art, a NetWeaver instance. But at any rate, even with the trial stuff, you can begin to get a feeling for the different tools, because remember that there's not standardization yet. There's not one way to go about this. And so there's all kinds of things you can do. Like, for example, with the process modeling tools, you say, I don't have access to IDS Shears enterprise modeling tools on my project, because that's one example of some of the tools that are coming into play. Well, that's fine, but you probably have access to Solution Manager on your project. And while Solution Manager isn't a modeling environment, it is a repository of business processes for SAP, and there are things you can learn about Solution Manager functions that can help you. Or alternately, you can learn about Visio, which is pretty readily available. And while it's not exactly a next-generation tool, it's a good start. And then Intaglio has an open-source business process management tool. Now, for the functional person, these tools are a little bit of a stretch still. There's not that kind of like easy, friendly, application that's perfect for the business user who doesn't know much code yet. But you can still start getting your feet wet in what the look and feel of these systems, and eventually I think they will be more business user or friendly, and certainly NetWeaver BPM is a step in that direction as well. And finally, don't forget about the visual rendering of this stuff, because you're still rendering stuff either on a portable device or mobile device or on a traditional SAP portal. And so there's different rendering technologies, whether it's the Web DimPro or perhaps Visual Composer. And Visual Composer is often used in mashup scenarios that I described earlier. So these are tools that are readily available on a lot of SAP project sites. So a lot of it is basically saying, I'm willing to take this on and start learning. And who knows, maybe you can even develop a little pilot project or mashup on your own time that helps your company with a specific problem. You can demo it. And I've heard of things like that taking steam secondhand, though I don't have any specific examples. But there can definitely be a bottom-up movement around this stuff, which is one thing that's pretty cool. Eventually, you obviously have to have executive buy-in to get too far down the road with this stuff. But there's really not a whole lot of excuse for sitting around on this stuff, because the tools are out there to play around with.
Gotcha. Well, that's a great level of detail. I think to close out this podcast, I have sort of a more general high-level question. And It's the fact that there may be a tension between this world of services. You know, I think of something like ESR, or, you know, almost like iTunes, right, being able to create and move these services around flexibly, and the old SAP that everyone knows, which has a reputation for being monolithic and do it my way, you know, kind of like buy the whole CD, right, with all the 15 tracks and listen to them the way we've organized them. How is that going to work out in the long term? Because somehow I feel that there's like an essential tension between these two ways of doing business and designing software. So I'm just curious what you think about that.
Well, I think you're right. And that's one reason why, you know, when I talk about self-education and next steps, you never heard me say abandon your current core competency, and that's not what I'm talking about at all, because you want to pay a good deal of attention as well to the core skills in SAP that got you to this point. And the issues you raise are valid ones. And, you know, part of what you hear about with SOA is that, first of all, you have regulatory issues. You know, you can't just do stuff on the web and have data out there that isn't standardized with whatever you owe for various regulatory bodies in your industry. So there's a whole governance piece that comes in. So it's not just, hey, these developers are having some wacky fun developing this new initiative. Like there, some at some point that the chaos of that does have to be governed. And then, as you said, in addition to that, there's a lot of cultural issues around, you know, how SAP has traditionally worked and how companies are traditionally used to working. And some of them may not, you know, be all that enthusiastic about some of the ways in which SOA can democratize information or participation in processes. And sometimes that's just not a good formula. So you can imagine, for example, that maybe this would play out differently, say, in aerospace and defense than it might play out in new media companies. And so I think you're totally right to point out that this stuff is not just going to transform organizations because there's a new tool. Organizations are going to make their own decisions about how they want to be and how they want to apply these tools. And so I don't know exactly what the long-term future of that is going to be. But I do think that what's going to happen is it's going to come down to what makes money, right, instead of what's cool or what's hot. And so some of this stuff, if it doesn't really show a bottom line benefit, it's never going to be adopted. And it is going to need some level of organization and control, even if there's some freedom within those controls. So how that all plays out, you know, is well worth watching, and I think your point is totally a valid one that we need to, you know, keep a healthy skepticism about this stuff. But the reason that I am, you know, advocating it is because the underlying logic, which is don't alter your source code but build competitive advantage on top of that source code, totally makes sense to me, and that's why I'm advocating that this probably will work, but it's going to take some time to sort out all the tools and technologies around it. And it's still kind of a wild universe of tools rather than, oh, this is something that totally works every time for every company, and we have to be realistic about that.
Gotcha. Well, I think that's an excellent note to end on. And John, thanks as always for a very insightful commentary. We sure appreciate it.
Cool. Enjoyed it.
We hope you enjoyed that overview of SOA in the SAP context. It's no exaggeration to say that SOA is changing the DNA of SAP-run companies, so you should do your utmost to get educated on this topic. Thanks for listening.